Ian Hutchinson back with our Rub of the Mind podcast with Richard Zokel, the founder of MindLink Golf. Dick, we never really get into it. What are you trying to accomplish with MindLink Golf?
Well, Hutch, MindLink Golf is a new company, and it's about collecting very important data that relates to people's performance. So it's a measurement of key performance markers.
Okay.
And it's structured such that when you put your attention on your key performance markers, and we can get into that in this discussion,
right,
then it inherently brings you into the present moment.
Okay.
Too often, and everyone, we talk a lot about golf insanity, and
right.
I think that's quite self-explanatory.
Right.
Golf insanity is, is doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. And I think
right.
most golfers can relate to that, and most golfers are frustrated by that. And
right.
so MindLink Golf is all about, it's a psychological game improvement method and system, and it's a data collection of a very unique method of collecting information on how people are using their mind
okay.
and where they're putting their attention in their performance on the golf course.
Okay. Well, when you talk about performance markers, you know, there's obviously several along the way. You know, so often in golf we hear the term, it's part of the process.
Right.
You know, we hear the process so much in golf. I mean, number one, the process to me is a long-term, not long-term, but, you know, it has, you know, various moving parts in it. It's not just one big, you know, process. And define to me, what is a process in golf, Dick?
Well, everyone's striving to get into the present moment. That's the important
right.
thing. And golfers need to understand that there's a sequence of thought that's really important.
Okay.
Where the golfer puts his attention. You know, you could put your attention on mushroom soup while you're over the golf shot, and it's not going to do you very good. So you
sure.
have a choice on where you put your attention.
Right.
And, you know, your emotions and your expectations revolve around that. And the fundamental problem where golfers, and most every golfer, it doesn't really matter what level you play at,
right.
they put their attention on the result. And it's kind of, and their emotions are attached to the result, and their
right.
expectations are on the result, and their confidence goes up and down based on the result. And it's just the worst thing you can possibly
sure.
do.
Sure.
And it creates a lot of anxiety. So the process is prior to the result. It's number one is when in every single golf shot you hit, you have to assess it.
Right.
Oh, you know, the shot you have on your tee shot is very different than a 3-foot putt. So you assess
Absolutely.
That shot at hand. And then you have to make sure you execute on that shot.
Right.
The process does involve your pre-shot routine, which is very important sequence of it. But it starts with the assessment.
Sure.
And they're key performance markers. And what MindLink does is we evaluate each to relative to the level of your own level
right.
of your ability to assess that shot. You capture that information, and then you capture the information on how well you executed that shot.
Right.
And then what our data analysis does, it sends you back reports, and then you're able to focus on that where your weak points are. As an example, let's assume you go out to play, and you're going to assess poorly on every single putt.
Sure.
And you're making an excellent execution, a stroke with your putt, but your assessment of reading the putt is improper.
Right. So
you're going to miss those putts all day long, and if you don't know it's your assessment that your key performance marker of your assessment this week, you're going to go with your instructor, and they're going to probably work on your stroke,
right.
and you're not going to make very good headway. So you need to get the measurement of your ability to assess that shot, and then the measurement of your key performance marker of executing. And then you can work on the relationship of whether you need to improve your ability to execute the shot
right.
or your ability to assess that shot. And that's where the process is. So your attention is on that. And when you get really good at this, if you put your attention on it, you will improve. And then the results become a byproduct of that process.
Well, in a lot of ways, we're talking about getting ahead of ourselves, or how easy it is to get ahead of ourselves, as opposed to be in that one moment that we need to either assess the shot or take the shot or, you know, do a lot of things. And when I think about pressure, for example, you know, obviously it's a relative term because it's something that as an amateur, you know, we may be playing for a bet, you know, possibly at an amateur championship, a club championship, whatever. But I think when we get to pros, you know, it's a whole new ball game because we're thinking of one shot being worth, let's say, $100,000, you know, when you're on the 18th green and you've got a putt for $100,000, you know, depending on where you finish on the leaderboard. So I guess it's so easy to get carried away. It's something that only a few of us will ever know. You knew it when you played the PGA Tour. And it must be easy to get ahead of yourself when you've got that kind of money riding on it.
It's really easy to do it, and I think what happens is when we're training young people, and it's how we get conditioned.
Right.
And I think we're teaching, you know, these young people the techniques and the swing and fitness and all this, and we're doing a very good job of it.
Sure.
But I don't believe there's many instructors that are really understanding the sequence of thought and how critical it is to performance. We automatically go to the result because the results of the score, the results of, you know, really determine whether we win or we lose in our performance. So that's where we default to. But what it does is it really sets up these and conditions people to get ahead of themselves, and it just gets, it's a thought disorder.
Right.
And it just stimulates anxiety to no end. And after, you know, let's an example. Let's use Phil Mickelson's ability to hit lob shots and chip shots.
Right.
And let's go to the other extreme. You know, he's a very confident. His technique is very good. And let's use our example of our good friend Graham DeLatte.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's widely known that Graham struggles with his short game. Last year, he took some time away and announced to the world
sure
that he needed to take some time off, and because he had some anxiety problems related to his chipping.
Sure.
So you look at Phil. Phil is just a master, and his technique is excellent. We watched last week, at Safeway, him with this massive flop shot, where the harder he swung, the better the shot got, and he had literally no margin for error.
Right.
But his technique is very good, and his confidence and his ability to assess and execute that shot is at the highest level of any golfer in the world.
Right.
And then you go to Graham, who has got this condition, this, and it's a form of thought disorder.
Right.
You know, where involuntary impulses happen. You know, they call the yips a focal dystonia. But at first, you know, his technique isn't working, and he's had a lot of trauma with it. So now he's in a conditioned place where when he has a chip, particularly like on the last hole at the same tournament where Phil was hitting these flop shots.
Right.
You know, he had a 60-foot chip, and he only, you know, he stubbed it. It only went a few feet, and then he grabbed to the putter. And, you know, and that one shot, as I think you were referring to, that cost him $120,000.
Absolutely.
And you know, so what Graham's going to have to do in order to get through this, and certainly not sticking your head in the ground, and not saying he's doing that. We don't know what he's doing about this.
Right.
We know that it's important that he has to fix it. But, you know, he's going to have to change his technique because, you know, his intuition knows that that technique isn't going to work when he's over the ball. He hasn't even pulled the club back. And,
right.
And, I'm sure in his mind he's not settled with it. He's actually right. Probably freaking out over it.
Sure.
And but he's going to have to figure out a technique that works, and then he's going to have to build on it brick by brick and relearn it, which is neuroplasticity. He's going to have to find new wiring in his mind that goes to his central nervous system, that goes to his muscles in this coordinated movement, and then build it slowly like a brand new golfer all over again. And but you know, the yips with chipping is probably the most difficult yips to overcome.
You know, it's very interesting that you mentioned Phil and, you know, the fact that he swung hard at it, for example, you know, to do that flop shot. But you're still, you know, you sit there and you wonder, as an amateur, you know, I get around a green and I think, boy, I hit that hard and I'm going to rocket launch it right over the green. And Phil's confident enough to, you know, to know that it's going to come down in pretty good position.
Well, you know, and, you know, he's in that situation where, you know, he knows his technique is, and he's going to be able to meet that low point right at that perfect angle. So right. The harder he swings,
yeah,
the higher the ball is going to go, and the more soft it's going to yeah. come down. Whereas if, you know, he has developed that skill level, that yeah. that comfort and execution of his technique is just so precise. It's literally the best in the world.
Yeah.
And but you know that it's a polar opposite with those who are struggling with the yips, with their chips, and
right.
it all begins with your technique has to be sound. And what's happening? It's the same. Here's the analogy. Is the person who's driving a car.
Right.
He's in control of the steering wheel. And if the passenger who's beside the car all of a sudden doesn't have faith that this technique of this driver is going to be able to, you know, keep it on the road, then he's going and he starts fighting for the wheel. Now you have two personalities that which are in our mind that are giving different messages yeah. to our body. And they're fighting for the wheel. And this
right.
is where the crash is going to happen. So in Graham's mind, or anyone who has the yips, is they're getting two different messages that are being delivered
yeah.
to down, per, you know, one side of their, to their hands, then the other one. And then there's this frantic fight
yeah.
For control. And nothing good is going to happen. You're going to get two things fighting each other, and you're going to get a crash.
Well, certainly when you talk about the rocket launchers that I mentioned earlier, I mean, really, you're getting ahead of yourself right there because you're thinking of a negative result, aren't you?
Well, that's just it. So there's the sequence of is critical to performance, and it's always a case of the technique has to be sound,
right,
and
yeah.
then it needs to be practiced through repetition, and then it needs to be you know having success in various levels of pressure, and then it's a brick by brick. Development, and you know, we watch Phil Mickelson, who's the best at it in the world. I mean, he gets so excited; he's in the moment, and he just relishes
yeah.
the opportunity to hit that flop shot. They talk about it on television how you know he's inspired to hit it.
Yeah.
And then you go look at the other opposite end of it, and you got someone who's just you know, in trauma when they have to even deal with it.
Right.
So you know, that's the that's how our minds work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to do everything to detach emotionally from the results.
Right.
So you can be cold-blooded about it. And this is what mind-link golf does. It trains you to put your attention on the proper assessment and execution, your key performance markers,
nice.
So you don't go down the rabbit hole and get conditioned to these thought disorders, and and we're very excited about it. We think it's a wonderful product that most every golfer needs.
Well, not to get ahead of ourselves, let's come back and explore this a whole lot more as we go along in these podcasts.
Thanks again, Hutch. There's an endless supply of MindLink Golf trying to solve all these golf insanity issues, and it's great having you with us.
Well, we'll do it one performance marker at a time, okay?
You've got it, Hutch. Thanks so much.
Okay, Dick, thank you.